and to learn who our God is, even in the midst of uncertainty, and who we are. So if you would, please stand to read God's word. Psalm 124, it's in page 1 or 517 in your pew Bible. This is God's word. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torment would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us up, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. This is God's word. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we just thank you that you are a God who's with us, that you are our help. And this morning as we come to your word, remind us that our help comes from the very name of the Lord, the one who has made heaven and earth. And I pray as we just ponder real life and ponder our life, particularly today with everything going on, that you would comfort us, that you are with us and that you are for us, and that you are God who speaks to us the words of comfort, words of mercy. And we just pray all this in your great and wonderful name. Amen. Please be seated. Last year, as a maturing adult, I had my first well check for a lot of reasons, mostly that my insurance gave me a kickback for that well check. So it was a nice $60 to help with Christmas gifts. But besides the point, it was the first time I had this well check. I went to the doctor just because I was healthy and had this check. And the nurse was taking my information and my vitals, and he asked me these series of questions that he would ask probably anyone, everyone that would go through this process. And the first question was this. He asked, do you engage in hazardous work? And I said, yes. And he looked at me funny, and he asked me, what do I do? And I told him I was a pastor. And then he said, I don't mean that kind of hazardous work. And the reality is this. If we are a Christian, we're on a journey set before us that's hazardous. With trials and troubles, and particularly today as we ponder what's going on. And here in this psalm, it reminds us that we do have a helper. As we move through life that is full of uncertainty, we have one who is certain. And David here reminds us that we have a God who is our helper, the very one who has made heaven and earth. And here we see that David is the one who writes the psalm. And he's looking back in his own experience and being reminded that God is the one who has intervened, that he has broke through and rescued and redeemed him time and time again. And as he writes the psalm, he reflects. He reflects on those experiences to shape him of who he is. And so this morning, as we look at the psalm, we are going to reflect on our own journey in our own life, and even in our own day right now, that our God is with us and that he is our help. And how is that truth going to shape us? How is it going to posture us, as it were, to live in this world? What can we learn? And the psalm here is not about hazards. It's about help. The hazardous life of the Christian is not the subject of the psalm, but it's only the setting. The subject is the help that comes from the name of the Lord. And so this morning we're going to look at the need of God's help, the power of God's help, and the very gift of it, the gift of God's help. One author puts it this way as he talks about poetry particularly. He says that good poetry survives not when it's pretty or beautiful or nice, but when it's true and honest. The Psalms are a great poetry and have lasted, not because they appeal to our fantasies and our wishes, but because they confirm the intensity of honest and hazardous living. Psalm 124 is not a selected witness inserted like a commercial into our lives to testify that life gets better with God. It's not part of the media blitz to convince us that God is superior than all the other gods of the market. It's not a press release. It's an honest prayer. And so this morning, we're going to be reminded that we have a great helper who is the Lord himself. So first, the need of God's help. Listen to verses 1 through 5. David writes, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let now Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when the people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, and then over us would have gone the raging waters." As you have seen and heard, we have a sweet little family. And one of our favorite things that we do every summer is that we cram on our couch and we watch this amazing show called America Ninja Warrior. And we love watching these human beings go through these crazy obstacle courses to do amazing things. But that's only half the show. The other amazing part of the show that we deeply enjoy is watching these stories of these real ninja warriors who have come from, for many of them, in desperate places. They would not be where they were if it wasn't for someone to come. And they were in desperate need of help. And somebody has come alongside of them to swoop in to truly help them, to be with them, to restore them. And for some of them, it was sickness or loss of job or just family life. And you see time and time again, somebody, something had to come outside of themselves to help them, to restore them, to rescue them. And here in the psalm, David shows us, gives us a glimpse of his own restoration, of God coming and swooping in to redeem and to save him. What is interesting about here is that David writes the psalm, but it's not clear of actually when it was written. It could have been a number of different things. It could have been as he was being chased, or him thinking back of the Exodus, or even the different battles that David was part of, or even his greatest spiritual battle of Psalm 51, being restored after Bathsheba. But here David reflects just on that simple reality that he is in desperate need of help. And so I think it helps us, not knowing the exact time and location of David's life when this was written. Because the reality is true that we all are in desperate need of help. No matter where we are or what we're doing, and especially today. That the good news of the gospel is that we have a God who creates everything and doesn't step back, but he has one who actually engages in with the people of his creation. And so the first question I have for you this morning is that this: have you ever looked back and reflected on a time in your life where you were in desperate need for help and you received it? It might have been in an earthly or a human sense, or even more powerful, a spiritual sense of God coming in and doing amazing things to restore you, to rescue you, to rebirth you, as it were. And David is trying to show us and to remind us that we are people who cannot save ourselves, that we need someone or something, or even more particular, we need God himself to come from outside of us, to come in and to restore us, to make us new. And God did not come to give you an assist. He did not come to just help you get across the road. He came to make you alive. He comes to rescue you, that he is truly a redeemer who delivers you. He's the one who redeems you. And so the story of God's people, the story of our story, is that we are desperate people in desperate need of help. And that the only one who can deliver us is God himself. The only way that we could escape the danger that we face is for God to intervene, for God to come into the midst of our lives, to come alongside of us, to be with us and to be for us. And so again, David here is reflecting that he often has felt trapped. He can't move, he's stuck. And that he has a helper in the very name of the Lord. And again, a great question. Have you discovered your own desperate need? Have you come to that moment where you have felt utterly trapped in your own sin and misery, or even in just the flesh in this world, and that you needed a helper? And how has that reality of you coming to the very end of yourself and coming to realize that someone has to come in and redeem you, how has that shaped you? Because the reality is this, that the trouble and trials of our lives helps us to discover about who we are and who our God is. In particular today, we live in a world that is very uncertain. We look back this past week and we're not sure how we got to where we are right now. And we're not sure how the next week's going to look, or even month or even year. But what we do know is what we have a creator. We have a sustainer and we have a redeemer who is truly with us. And we're in desperate need of help. Again, I think in Josh's prayer he alluded to it. There is a sense that we are in physical need of help. But it's only gives us a glimpse of how much we need help spiritually, redemptively, in our own sin and our own misery. Is that we truly do need a savior. We need a redeemer. We need a friend to come and to be with us. And so for us to be shaped by this great truth that God is our help, we need to discover that we're in desperate need of help. Second, we see that this helplessness that comes is only matched by the very power of God. And so we're in desperate need of God's help. And second, we see the very power of God's help. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. See, the good news of the gospel is that the psalm, the helplessness of God's people is mirrored by the very power of our God. The power of our God helps to help us overcome the very powers that come, our own flesh, of the devil and of this world. That God is the only one who has the power to reach into all those areas of lives to save us, to redeem us, to make us whole again, to restore us and to free us. And see, the power that God reaches into all these situations and invites us to think of those situations and to reflect on the very power of this God who has come in to redeem us and to save us, that we have experienced that power. And what has that experience of that power, what has it done to us? How has it changed us? How has it moved us? And so again, this morning, how have you seen the very power, his power, God's power, be in your life? Have you seen the very power of God come into your life to save and to redeem you? Have you come to that moment in your life where you have felt trapped? Maybe in an earthly sense, but even more particularly in a spiritual sense. Have you ever felt powerless? And what did you feel when you realized that the very power of God has come to rescue you? Even here, as I'm going through these points, my mind quickly goes to the very prodigal son. As the text puts it, that he was at the end of himself, there in the pig trough. And there he goes to approach his father, who comes and restores him and makes him whole again. A couple of years ago, we were living on the east side of town, near UNF, and my kids were playing in the backyard, and they found this little hole that was kind of underneath our AC unit, I wondered what it was, and so I Googled what could be there. Raccoon was an option, but after some research, I assumed there was an armadillo living underneath my AC unit. I had to trap this thing. If you ever try to look at Google to figure out how to trap an armadillo, it seems like an impossible situation. Most of the suggestions were find pantyhose, which I don't have pantyhose. Get some earthworms, which I don't have earthworms. Put that in the cage, and you'll trap it. So I used the next best thing, and that was birdseed. And after the first night, I caught myself an armadillo. But I have a nice minivan, so there's no way I'm putting that thing in my minivan. So after 4 days, that thing was trapped in my backyard in this live cage. I wasn't going to move it, wasn't going to touch it, wasn't going to go near it, because supposedly they carry diseases. So finally I got a truck and was able to move it to somebody else's property. I won't tell you who. But that thing was trapped. It was in the snare, and there was no way out. I mean, he was literally trapped there. And the only way for his survival was to intervene to be saved. For someone like myself to come and to finally swoop him up and put him in a truck and carry him away. And again, the main point, the first point that you heard this morning is that you cannot save yourself. And the reality is this, that is not really good news. If that's all we have. The good news comes in the gospel that our salvation belongs to the Lord and not to us. That God is the only one who can come and to intervene. He's the only one who can be like us and 100% in man to live that life and to die that death, to restore us and to rescue us. As we live in this world that's filled with trials and troubles, we need to recognize the very power of God. We need to think about Daniel in the lion's den. We need to think about the Exodus. We need to think about Easter morning, that our Savior rose again from the grave and that death was defeated on our behalf. And that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we are restored each and every day. And that those truths and those things need to shape us, to be powerful for us as we live. And the other question is this is, as we realize the very power of our God, that he is one who truly redeems and saves us, how are we going to respond to that reality? Look at verse 6. It said, blessed by the Lord, or in another other translation, praise the Lord. That as we come to this place realizing that our help is in the name of the Lord, that we need to bless him, that we need to praise him, that we need to rejoice in that reality. Samuel Rutherford once said this, rejoicing in the Bible is much of a command as repenting. We need to be people who reflect on the very power and wonder of our God and praise him for that power, to celebrate, to be filled with joy and wonder. Again, that same armadillo that I caught in a cage, and he was trapped in that cage in my backyard for 4 days. What was kind of amazing is when I finally let that guy go, and as he was running out of the cage, about 7 feet away from me, he literally leaped up like 6 feet high. I mean, the only time I've seen an armadillo is trapped in my cage and dead alongside of the road. And here was this rejoicing that he was free and redeemed and running free on somebody's property that I still will not tell you who it is. How much more should we lift and rejoice and praise, realizing that our Savior and our Redeemer and our true prophet, priest, and king lived and died for us and rose again for us and is now seated at the right hand of God to be our ultimate prophet, priest, and king, and that it's only by his power that we are redeemed, that we are saved, and that we are taken care of, and that he is truly with us. And for us. And so this morning that we've seen the very need of God's help, we see the very power of God's help, and then lastly, the gift of God's help. John Calvin actually used verse 8 here in Psalm 124 as his call to worship every Sunday. He knew that the one thing that himself and his people needed to hear each and every Lord's Day was that they had a helper, the very maker of heaven and earth, that our help comes from the one who has made everything. And so each week, this is how John Calvin started his worship service. with this verse and this verse only, realizing and to remind us is that we do have a helper. And so this verse here, this verse 8, is a confession of lived faith, of a discovery faith. It's not just the statement that here David has laid aside, but David has truly discovered that he only has one helper, and that's the very maker of heaven and earth, the same God who made all things. As we read Genesis 1 and 2, and we are simply amazed that our God spoke, and there it was. The same God that we read in Colossians 1, as he sustains all things, that he's holding all things together, as Paul writes in Colossians. And the same God that we flip the pages to Revelation 21, who will come back to make all things right, that there's no pain, nor death, nor mourning, nor tears. That's the God who is our help. And so what do we get knowing and realizing that we have a helper who is the very maker of heaven and earth? And if I could put it in one word, that would be that of assurance. That would be that of confidence. Here, David gives us a confession of lived faith, that his help comes from the very name of the Lord, that he has experienced the desperation that he has lived day by day, hour by hour, week by week, and the only one who could truly walk with him and to be with him and to restore him and make him whole again was God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And what that gave him as he continued to live in this world of uncertainty, particularly as we sit here this Sunday morning, to know that our God is our help gives us assurance, gives us confidence that we're not alone, that we have God truly with us and for us. And how can we be assured? How can we be assured that God is with us, even in today? We can be assured that God is with us because he himself sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to take on flesh, to live that life that we could not have lived, not even on our best day, and die that death we should have died. We can be assured because Jesus took on that flesh and he lived that life and he died that death, that he was nailed on that cross in Calvary. And he reminded that thief that was next to him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That we can be assured, just like that guy was this morning, that we can be assured that our Savior is with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he is with us to the end. And since Christ, through his work and through his person, gives us that assurance, in this world and time of uncertainty, we can sing songs like this. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, and he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will love me fast. So this morning, we need to remember that our Savior fights for us and that he is with you. And so when you cry out, when life gets tough and you're under the assault of the world, the flesh, the devil, Jesus aims to put everything under his feet, and he will, and that nothing will be left opposed to him, nothing will be left opposed to his people, and that he will deliver us, and that through that and through just looking and realizing that he comes to us in his bloodstained garments from the battles and from his foes, that he has come out the victor. And David is reminding us and telling us that because of his life, of his fight, and as we live this life of hazardous living, we have one who is with us, that he is the very help, that he is our help, is in the very name of the Lord. And that the gift that God gives us is confidence as we live through this world. As you know, as most of you know, and some of you know, we have four children, but we don't have just four children. We have four children 4 years apart. So a couple things are true here. I will be paying for college until 2072. which is pretty close. And the second thing is true. I have read a lot of board books over the years. And one of my favorite is this book called Going on a Bear Hunt. And there's a frame throughout this book, and it says it over and over again. There are certain obstacles that as these people are going through the woods. And throughout it said about these certain obstacles, if we could miss it, we would. Or we would try to. And there's a refrain throughout the book about these obstacles. And it reminds us that we cannot go over it. We can't go over it. We have to go through it. And this is what the life of faith looks like. The reality is we can't go over it. We can't go what we're going through right now as a country and as a world. Even the little troubles and trials of your own life is that you can't just skip it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You have to go through it. And that's what it looks like when we discover when God is our help. When you discover that God is with you, that you have the assurance and the confidence that God is with you. So as you go through it, you know that you have the very Creator with you. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus went through it all the way to the cross so that he can be with us as we travel this hazardous life. And when you discover that our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who has made the heaven and the earth, then you are able to sing songs like this. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and to provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your very best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. And so the good news this morning is that we know that we have God who is with us, that he is our help, and that he is truly on our side. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, again, we thank you that you are truly a God who's with us and for us. We thank you that you are a God who reveals yourself to us, that you speak to us to remind us. Because we live in an uncertain world, and we are uncertain people. We are frail and we're broken. We long for us to be restored. And this psalm is a great reminder that we need help. We need the very power of God to come in. And I pray as we discover that reality that you are our very helper, that the very maker of heaven and earth is not just a creator, but he's absolutely the sustainer, that he is our redeemer and friend and the one who makes us new. And I pray that reality, those moments in time that we discover that truth to be real, that it would literally change us. And I pray that this truth, knowing that we have a helper and a friend and a redeemer, that it would simply give us assurance, it give us confidence. That we have the very maker of heaven and earth on our side and that he is with us. I pray for Ortega. I pray that you would continue to be with them, remind them, use them. Use them for your glory to spread to the ends of the earth. And we pray all this in your great and wonderful name. Amen.